The word of the Lord from Isaiah 51, verses 1 through 6. Listen to me, you who pursue righteousness, you who seek the Lord. Look to the rock from which you were hewn, and to the quarry from which you were dug. Look to Abraham your father, and to Sarah who bore you. For he was but one when I called him, that I might bless him and multiply him. For the Lord comforts Zion. He comforts all her waste places and makes her wilderness like Eden, her desert like the garden of the Lord. Joy and gladness will be found in her, thanksgiving and the voice of song. Give attention to me, my people, and give ear to me, my nation. For a law will go out from me, and I will set my justice for a light to the peoples. My righteousness draws near. My salvation has gone out, and my arms will judge all the peoples. The coastlands hope for me, and for my arm they wait. Lift up your eyes to the heavens and look at the earth beneath, for the heavens vanish like smoke, the earth will wear out like a garment, and they who dwell in it will die in like manner. But my salvation will be forever, and my righteousness will never be dismayed. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. The text for our gospel proclamation comes from the Old Testament prophecy of Isaiah in chapter 51 and serves as the basis of our theme for the 13th Sunday after Pentecost, the rock of our salvation. You know, you don't have to go to church to be a Christian. She said, emphatically, when she discovered I was a pastor. This is usually the reason I don't tell anyone what I do for a living the first time I meet them. Not if they ask, of course. I always tell the truth. And I think we all know the consequences for lying about who we really are. The truth eventually comes out. But almost nobody asks what I do for a living when I first meet them. People in general like to talk about themselves, which I love, because I know me and would much rather get to know them. The other truth is, outside of my pastor context here at the church and school, and when I am on official duty at the nursing homes and hospitals, other than that, I don't like to talk about myself. And that's mostly because it leads to awkward conversations like with this nice lady. And I'm frequently finding myself uncomfortably trying to correct their false notions about Christianity and the church. No, I gently replied. You don't have to go to church to be a Christian. But everyone I know who is a Christian goes to church if they are able. I don't know if I won any hearts and minds that day, but I do know I emphasized that our church would love to have her if she ever changed her mind. I know, it's kind of a reverse psychology technique that we are using there, but I find that reversing the notion is a better gospel approach and less legalistic. And I noticed that early in the text today, the way God's language works uses that same technique as well. So I figure if it's good enough for God, it should certainly be good enough for us. You see, the first two lines of Isaiah's prophecy come across that way. Now it says in English, "Listen to me, you who pursue righteousness, you who seek the Lord, look to the rock from which you were hewn and to the quarry from which you were dug." All grammatically correct and in acceptable word order for our purposes of study and understanding. But as I stared at those incredible characters and the language Isaiah was inspired by the Holy Spirit to write it in, I realized that God was using a bit of reverse psychology as well. For it could just as easily, and possibly preferably, be rendered as, "You who pursue righteousness, do listen to me. You who were hewn from the rock and dug from the quarry, do seek the Lord." And that got me thinking about that rock yet again. What is with this rock metaphor in Isaiah, as well as so many other places in Scripture? It's not unfamiliar to us, but does bear repeating. As I talked about from a chapel I did last week, Jesus refers to Peter as the rock in Matthew 16. Paul refers to the rock that followed the Israelites in the desert in 1 Corinthians 10. Deuteronomy 32 refers to God as the rock, perfect in all his ways, with faithfulness and without iniquity. And Psalm 89 summarizes all these perfectly, saying, "You are my Father, my God, and the rock of my salvation." Well, that's just perfect, isn't it? The rock is our security, our firm ground, our salvation. Look, I don't know how many of you know this, but I'm a fan of 80s hairband music. Whether it's AC/DC, Cinderella, Def Leppard, Van Halen, or my personal favorite, Night Ranger. Every time one of their songs come on the radio in my car, the volume goes up, the bass is adjusted, and the windows are rolled up so as not to embarrass myself around my neighbors. But boy, do I like that rock. Sometimes, when my wife Marcy is with me and 38 Special comes on, we rock out together. But I wasn't really much of a rocker in high school at all. I was more into Wham, Oingo Boingo, The Power Station, and Hall & Oates. And I didn't even buy records or anything like that, let alone go to a concert. Marcy got to go to a Van Halen concert thanks to her brother, and my brother was into all the hard rockers like Iron Maiden, Anthrax, Motorhead, Pantera, and the like, and went to the concerts as well. But my sister-in-law, Maria, Jay's wife, rules supreme in the rock fan genre. She managed to go to all the great bands at Mile High Stadium and McNichols Arena in Denver. And she managed to get backstage passage for almost all of them and has the pictures to prove it. And they are awesome. Every couple of years when we're back there, I make her dig them out and tell me all the stories about meeting all those famous rockers. And as much as I anticipate hearing the stories again, I always come away from it disappointed because she reminds me who the nice rockers were and who the jerks were. And of course, the bands I admire the most were the biggest jerks of all when she saw them. I know, oh how I know, we can't expect famous people to be perfect all the time. After all, they have bad days just like you and I do. But I can't help but feel they betray the music. They betray the fans who follow them. And above all, they betray the perfect feeling you get from a great rock song when you know they're not the gods of rock you thought they were. Lost and Found, on the other hand, is a Christian rock group that toured in Germany one year and were trying to connect with their German fans by saying, "Rock on!" in their own language. So they would yell out after concerts, "Stein auf!" the rather wooden translation of "rock on," with their fist pumping in the air. After a couple of concerts doing this, a friend came to the concert to meet up for dinner afterwards. While eating together, the friend wanted to know, "Why do you keep saying Stein auf after the show with your fist pumping in the air?" "Oh, you know, it's like we say in America, rock on." Immediately, their friend started to giggle. "Ach, well, you're actually saying stone on top of." You know what's funny about the phrase rock and roll? It didn't come from rocks of any sort. It was picked up by the blues performer Trixie Smith in 1922, who borrowed it from the sailors who referred to their ships as rocking and rolling in the rough seas. Later in the 50s, DJ Alan Freed mainstreamed the term with his popular radio show Rock and Roll Party, to describe the new, hyped-up country music that was combined with the blues. And to that, we owe rock and roll to this day. Now, I tell you that to tell you this. What we think is really something in this world when compared to the rock-solid reality of our Lord, it's usually nothing at all. Because He is the original that borrowed from nothing. And that right there has always been my beef with true atheism. You know, people that think there is no God at all. I just can't figure out how they can believe that something came from nothing. In fact, I think they must have much more faith than we do to be sure that way of thinking is sound in any way. I mean, looking at the text alone today, we have the very explanation of everything and how it happened in the universe and how God got us to where we are today. And it all started by His creating the third rock from the sun after creating the universe to put our universe in. And we know He did it because Scripture tells us in Revelation 1:4, God is, was, and is to come. In other words, God is the eternal God who makes all things so. Then God made sure the origins of our faith were properly recorded by Moses as he details for us the escapades and adventure of Abraham, our father. After those first five books were done, the prophets came to emphasize the permanence and promise of the faithfulness of the rock of our salvation, who's coming again, clearly demonstrating His arms in verse 5, stretching on the cross to judge His people unto salvation for the sacrifice He made for our sins. And then show us that He walked out of the rock-hewn tomb to show victory over death and damnation for everyone. But the text also says something else that should mean everything to you, and you individually especially. When Isaiah says the rock from which you were hewn and the quarry from which you were dug, he means now you are the salvation for people too, because you came from the rock that is Christ. You are now rocks as well for others. You, like Peter, are the rock on which the church is built. You make the rock solid confession of faith in your life, your actions, your words, and your passion for your Savior who died for you and put you on the firm ground forever. And because of that, you, like Abraham before you, like Moses before you, like Isaiah, Jeremiah, Micah, Amos, and Obadiah, like the disciples and apostles, like Martin Luther and the reformers, even down to C.F.W. Walther, the father of our American Lutheran Church, they, like you, confess the rock of salvation so others could be saved too. So this is your call, your church, your faith, and your mission, because Jesus is the rock of salvation in you. Amen. Now may that peace that surpasses all understanding guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus always. Amen.